ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 16, entitled A Description of Jambudvip. Text number 22. And again, we're dealing with a number of prose verses, so we're going to just read the translation. Text number 22, translation. On the side of Suparshva Mountain stands a big tree called Mahakadamba, which is very celebrated. From the hollows of this tree flow five rivers of honey, each almost five vyamas wide. This flowing honey falls incessantly from the top of Suparshva Mountain and flows all around Ilavrata Varsha, beginning from the western side. Thus the whole land is saturated with the pleasing fragrance. Purport. Which is a very short purport, so we're also going to move on to some other texts. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The distance between one hand and another when one spreads both his arms is called a vyama. This comes to about 8 feet. Thus, each of the rivers was about 40 feet wide, making a total of about 200 feet. Text number 23. Translation. The air carrying the scent from the mouths of those who drink that honey perfumes the land for 100 yojanas around. Text number 24. Translation. Similarly, on Kumuda Mountain, there is a great banyan tree, which is called Shatavalsha, because it has 100 main branches. From those branches come many roots, from which many rivers are flowing. These rivers flow down from the top of the mountain to the northern side of Ilavrita Varsha for the benefit of those who live there. Because of these flowing rivers, all the people have ample supplies of milk, yogurt, honey, clarified butter, ghee, molasses, food grains, clothes, bedding, sitting places, and ornaments. All the objects they desire are sufficiently supplied for their prosperity, and therefore they are very happy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The prosperity of humanity does not depend on a demoniac civilization that has no culture and no knowledge, but has only gigantic skyscrapers and huge automobiles always rushing down the highways. The products of nature are sufficient. When there is a profuse supply of milk, yogurt, honey, food grains, ghee, molasses, dhotis, saris, bedding, sitting places, and ornaments, the residents are actually opulent. When a profuse supply of water from the river inundates the land, all these things can be produced, and there will not be scarcity. This all depends, however, on the performance of sacrifice as prescribed or as described in the Vedic literature. Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anasambhava yagyad bhavati parjanyo yagya karma samudbhava. Quote, all living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yagya, sacrifice, and yagya is born of prescribed duties. These are the prescriptions given in Bhagavad Gita 3.14. If people follow these principles in full Krishna consciousness, human society will be prosperous, and they will be happy both in this life and in the next. Om Jnanatim Irandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuyamalitam Jena Tasmai Sugravinma Chichitanya Manobisam Sapitam Jena Bhutalaya Swayam Rupagadamayam Dadati Shvabadantikam Kam Garoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Giri Madhgipadam Vandaya Sigrum Dina Taranum. The verse again. Similarly, on Kumuda Mountain, there is a great banyan tree which is called Shatavalsha because it has 100 main branches. From these branches come many roots from which many rivers are flowing. These rivers flow down from the top of the mountain to the northern side of Ilavritta Varsha for the benefit of those who live there. Because of these flowing rivers, all the people have ample supplies of milk, yogurt, honey, clarified butter, molasses, food, grains, clothes, bedding, sitting places, and ornaments. All the objects they desire are sufficiently supplied for their prosperity, and therefore they are very happy. So here Srila Prabhupada is very nicely giving a description of a prosperous society. And the purport Srila Prabhupada points out very nicely that the prosperity of humanity does not depend on a demoniac civilization that has no culture. And we're seeing that practically in modern society, that we're living in a culture that is based on plastic and dead animals, and people are fighting just ferociously for it. The whole world is fighting after that plastic or oil, and they'll do anything for it, create all sorts of difficulties and as Srila Prabhupada was pointing out in the previous purports, what is the result? People are just eating off of plastic. They're wearing plastic. They're even eating plastic. I think some years ago there was a problem in India. I don't know if it's still there, but they banned plastic bags, right? Because the cows would, there was nothing to eat for the cows, so the cows would salvage, go through the garbage and pick up plastic bags and eat them and die, whatever. So this is the modern or the present society. It's based on demoniac principles. No culture, what to speak of knowledge. People are subject to so much false information. The media we're hearing is controlling the masses by their advertising, etc. So it's a society that is not very prosperous. No culture, no knowledge. Instead, just has giant skyscrapers where tall buildings where people, out of frustration, jump off and kill themselves. One year, I think it was in 75, Srila Prabhupada was walking through the Berkeley campus, and as they were walking along, Prabhupada pointed to this one building. What is this building here? And I think it was Dharmadyaksha or it was Bahulasa, I can't remember who was there, said, "Oh, Prabhupada, that's a very famous building." Prabhupada asked, why? Because students, they jump off that building regularly. They kill themselves. So this is the result, that although we may have some so-called advancement, gigantic buildings, well, to speak of huge automobiles rushing down the highways, as we heard yesterday at breakneck speeds, huge automobiles. Sometimes you see these, now they have those limousines that are, they convert everything practically into a limousine. It used to be just a simple sedan. Now it's Hummers. Yeah, right. That's what they are. They're called Hummers. And even bigger, pretty soon they'll have, limousine tanks or whatever. But they're huge automobiles that just... and what goes on in these big skyscrapers and huge automobiles, and it's unmentionable. So it's not very, pleasant situation or prosperous society. The formula is given here that when, if we simply work in harmony with nature, as Srila Prabhupada points out here, the products of nature are sufficient. It's not that we have to make things complicated. Nature has its own cycle, we all know. And when man sticks his hand into it and tries to control it, which he can't, things become complicated. They try and produce all sorts of hybrid seeds and genetic foods, and all of it is to so-called make things better. I haven't seen it, but I understand that there's an interesting documentary or movie or something called Food Inc., which talks about that and how the food industry is controlled and directed in such a way that it's simply to complicate things and keep people sick and controlled. Now you can't get seeds, isn't that right, Sringadev? He knows, he's a gardener. Now you can't even get seeds because it's so controlled and distorted. And as a result, of course, there's so many conspiracy theories out there that these big corporate food people and these big conglomerates are in cahoots with the pharmaceuticals. Keep people sick with food so that they can go to the pharmaceuticals, so that the pharmaceuticals can make money, etc. It goes, it's a big, big. And then, again, there's some other expose, SICKO, that it's something about how the pharmaceuticals are controlling people, and Anyway, it's a big, a long, vicious circle. When actually, nature, in its own way, is sufficient if we simply learn how to live in harmony with it, which is the Vedic culture. And Srila Prabhupada gives the answer here by quoting from the Bhagavad Gita, wherein the Lord explains that all living entities subsist on food grains which are produced from rains, which are produced by performance of yajna or sacrifice. And despite all the great advancement and propaganda, they can't produce even one drop of rain. And all of this is, and it's on that, human civilization or life in general can prosper. As Prabhupada points out here, when a profuse supply of water from the river inundates the land, not that we have to create all sorts of artificial flood controls and so-called modern technology, but when the rivers are allowed to flow naturally and inundate the land, all these things can be produced, such as milk, yogurt. Of course, it's not that the land produces it, but the land produces very nice grasses which and minerals. They're spread naturally. And when these things are done naturally, as Prabhupada points out here, there is a profuse supply of milk, yogurt, honey, food grains, ghee, molasses, dhotis, saris, bedding, sitting places, and ornaments. These things are all done, they're produced naturally. But in the demoniac civilization, there's no performance of sacrifice. The only sacrifice that people are performing nowadays is working like anything for what? They're working for a paper, which doesn't mean anything, which really has no value. In the long run, it has no value. And their idea is that this world is unreal anyway. Asatyam apritistam te jagadanishvara jagat ahur anishvaram. There's no foundation. This whole world is an unreal situation anyway, and it's simply produced of sex and has no other cause but lust. So, what do we have to perform any sacrifice for? We don't have to. But here, as Srila Prabhupada points out, and in the verse, that when sacrifice is performed, all of the necessities of life are provided. People live quite nicely and very happy. But when there's no regard for the sacrifice, there's no regard for Shastra, as here Srila Prabhupada points out again, that there's no culture, meaning sacrifice, and there's no knowledge, there's no Shastra. Yak Shastra vidimusrija vartate kamakarata. There's no interest in hearing anything from anyone, because people are just basically godless, and it's all based on sense gratification and acting whimsically, People just do whatever they want, practically any time they want, and the advertisements are there like that. Just do it. Or if it feels good, just do it, etc., etc. But that is not the Vedic process. The Vedic process means to restrain the senses, yuktahara vihara sa yukta chetasa karma su. When one regulates one's activities in life, the miseries of the material world, which are there, which are reality, they're mitigated. Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita that gives a definition of this word sama, which Krishna explains as one of the qualities. And Prabhupada explains that sama means to restrain the mind from unnecessary thoughts, to keep it restrained from unnecessary agitation. For the most part, people are agitated with so many, they're bombarded by so many ideas and so many complicated issues that no reason they have, no wonder they have to take so many medications. They're disturbed in so many different ways. Their business is simply to, as Prabhupada points out, pondering how to earn money. This is they're obsessed from day from morning till night. How to make money? But if we simply live according to Vedic principles, meaning again. Performance of sacrifice, meaning engaging in devotional service. All the necessities of life are provided. These descriptions given of Jambadweep is a culture, a society where those principles are being followed. And as we can see, there the results are beyond our understanding, beyond our conception, giant rivers full of milk and yogurt and honey and so many wonderful jewels, etc. So all of this is there when the Vedic system is followed properly. As Prabhupada points out here, if people follow these principles in full Krishna consciousness, human society will be prosperous. And Prabhupada mentions in one conversation, he quotes this one wonderful little line, Sarve Sukhino Bhavantu, that the Vedic mission is that everyone be happy. In a conversation with John Lennon and Paul McCartney, as we heard the other day, John Lennon was quoted. In that conversation, Srila Prabhupada points out that the Krishna consciousness movement is just that. It's a movement which is meant to let everyone be happy. Not just young or old or black or white or Americans or this one or that one, or just humans for that matter, but even the animals. Its mission is that everyone be happy. And Srila Prabhupada points out or quotes that this was Lord Chaitanya's also Lord Chaitanya's directive, Yare Deki Tareka Krishna Upadesh. give everyone an opportunity to become happy and prosperous. And that means engaging in the Sankirtan Jagya. Real wealth is not, as described in Srila Prabhupada's purport here, is not giant buildings and automobiles, etc., etc., but it, the definition is possessing cows and grains. This is the Vedic system. By having cows, one can have so many wonderful foods, and one can produce grains. And with those grains, everyone is satisfied. People are satisfied. Everyone is. There's so many hungry people in the world, not just physically hungry, but they're also spiritually hungry. And therefore, this process of Sankirtan is just perfect. It provides everything, not only physically, but also spiritually, emotionally. It provides everything. But it's a matter of taking a direction. One has to, as Prabhupada points out here, or as Krishna also points out here, that this all depends, however, on the performance of sacrifice as described in the Vedic literatures. And in the purport, or in the verse, the Lord says, born of prescribed duties. So, it's a matter of following one's duty. Everyone has a particular duty, both material and spiritual. But instead of being burdened by self-created duties, people are burdened by so many ideas that they're creating within their own heads due to lack of knowledge. There's no benefit. There's no advancement. But if we simply follow what the Lord is prescribing here, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, where one should follow that which is given by the Lord Himself and follow those great souls, mahajano yena katha sapanta, that just follow those great souls. And Srila Prabhupada, in that conversation again, in 69, pointed out that, and we're following the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who himself is God, but by his own example showed how society could become successful, how it could become happy and prosperous. And that is, again, the performance of Sankirtan Jagya, which is the real medicine, Kali Yuga Dharm Namera Prachar. The Lord has kindly appeared in this day and age, and He's giving the medicine, the prescription. For the disease of this material life, people are diseased. They're ill with all sorts of problems, but they don't know what to take. It's just like going into a pharmacy and asking someone, or telling the pharmacist, you know, I'm sick. Give me something off the shelf. No, you have to have some idea what your problem is. So that requires a teacher. And in this conversation, again, Srila Prabhupada is giving all of these analogies. The solution or the remedy is to hear or get the proper diagnosis of your problem, and then you understand what to take. So, unfortunately, the modern society doesn't know what their problem is. And it's all, therefore, we'll just run and make money. We'll rape the earth of so many minerals and utilize it to our sense gratification. No, this is not the solution. The solution is to engage it in Krishna's service. And when the Lord is satisfied, then everything is provided for. We don't have anything lacking. And Srila Prabhupada was pointing out again that this is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement, the Vedic system, the mission. That mission is to provide for everyone, give everyone an opportunity through this chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any questions or comments? Vanabhattu Prabhu?
Thank you for a nice class, Prabhu. Prabhupada brings up the point here of what actual wealth is. And you commented on that also. You know, he's saying that real wealth and real happiness comes from a natural state of existence. And of course, the reason we're, as devotees, really the only reason we're in the cities to begin with is because, as you mentioned, to propagate the Sankirtan Yajna. But I'm wondering, maybe you can comment on how important do you think it is as a society that we endeavor for a rural situation, some kind of a farm situation where the natural state of existence can be experienced. Because it seems we're hearing so much about how this, you know, our present society is so artificial in so many ways. Everything is based on simply paper currency. And it just seems now, we've had so many examples, you know, economically over the last couple of years, how, you know, the facade is beginning to crumble, and what people think is there in terms of opulence doesn't even exist. It's only like a reflection. So, you know, is it not too important that we shouldn't even really think about, you know, some type of a, you know, farm situation because we're comfortable living in the cities and we can preach like that? I mean, how important is it, in your opinion, that we develop situations like Prabhupada is describing here?
Personally, I think it's critical. I think it's essential to the development of Krishna consciousness movement to have that alternative. Was it a month ago or whatever it was, we had that little brownout, and it was lasted for a few hours, and things were so chaotic. What to speak of some major disaster, whether it's natural or economic, some social problem. I think there has to be an alternative. I think it's the other half of Krishna consciousness that we should be putting a lot of energy and thought into that development. There's a whole sector of human society that I think could we could attract with that. Certainly, you know, that right now people are overwhelmed by so many material necessities and were forced to live in a city in many cases. Many people are forced to live in the city to survive. They have to live on the freeway or under it. It's not a natural condition. It's just like this body. It's not natural for us to eat some of the foods that we're eating, that we're forced to eat. And people, as a result, are sick as anything. And there's no alternative. I was just hearing this morning, my wife was telling me about how in China, people have to wait sometimes for days in doctors, in a doctor line, in a line to see a doctor. And they pay somebody, can you stand in line for me for the next 2 days? However long it takes to get to see this doctor. So it's not natural. Therefore, I think it's critical in Krishna consciousness, in this Krishna consciousness movement, that an alternative be there, that there be some facility, some energy. I think there's a lot of interest, but again, we're overwhelmed in our own way also. So it may not we may not see it as a priority, but I think it is. I agree with you, Archita Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for a very nice class, and your sense of humor is appreciated. Living on the freeway and under the freeway.
Living on it or under it.
But this question comes up a lot, and you know, I usually like to chime in my two cents here, that in general we cast a wide net with the Sankirtan movement, distributing books anywhere and everywhere, and you know, we attract lawyers, doctors, bus drivers, whatever, but we can also do targeted preaching like we do sometimes. We go specifically to college. Why do we do that? Because Prabhupada said that the leaders of the movement will come from the college-educated class. He said if you keep on expanding amongst the general masses, the thing will fall apart. So we can do even more targeted preaching. Like, for instance, every Tuesday, there's a farmer's market here. So why not target preaching to the farmers? I do. I go once in a while, you know, and they're quite friendly. I've been speaking to some Oriental background people who have a farm way up, you know, and they were telling me about the hassles of doing this, how they have to grow their stuff and drive for hours back and forth to the city to sell and stuff. So we can actually encourage them to take up Krishna consciousness. We can maybe develop alliances with such farmers by buying directly from them, you know, instead of, you know, shopping at, you know, Smart and Final. In other words, there's practical ways that you can target farm communities. And the best way to get farming communities going is to target farmers. Because we've had our experiments of buying land and putting devotees from the city on it, and they stay for a few months or a few years, and then they leave because it's not in their blood.
Yeah.
It's not in my blood. I guarantee you, I'm not a farmer. I tried growing a few tomatoes when I lived in Alatra, and the whole thing was a disaster. So we need to do that. We need to really think in terms of targeting farm communities. It's natural for them. They're doing it already. Just get them to add the Sankirtan of chanting Hare Krishna and offering their food before eating, and right away you have farm communities.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, similar comment is following from what both Banabhata Prabhu and Archita Prabhu said. The thing, the common denominator between rural living and preaching to people who are already performing their, what we may say is their dharma, it's the farmers or the kshatriyas or the brahmanas or whatever, is the Varnashram principle that Prabhupada emphasized. In the last 3 years that Prabhupada was preaching in the West, or worldwide rather, he gave about 80% of the instructions that he ever gave on Varnashram Dharma. And those who compiled a book of his instructions on that topic said that it gave them the impression that Prabhupada was beginning to realize that the Sankirtan movement is not really sustainable unless we have this social system in place, which of course depends on simple living, high thinking, and performance of one's natural duties.
Dwarkarani, I think, had one comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. It's always nice to hear your class. I actually have a chiropractor who it comes down and has farmer's market in Santa Monica on Wednesday. And after the farmer's market, if you go to him, he'll give us all the produce back that came back from the market. And sometimes they just don't get to sell everything. And so I've brought back, you know, big bags to the kitchens and to the devotees and things like that. And Ram Prasad used to do it. They used to take a van, and whatever he has, he'll give, you know. And he likes to give. And so he tells his farmers, you know, if the Hare Krishnas come, just give them, you know, the prasadam, although they have to be from the ISKCON temple. They can't be from any other temple. They have to be from here, from New Dwarka. So, you know, it is going on. And he tells, he helps people, even helps devotees if they have problems and things like that. And, you know, and he talks about us. You know, he watches out for us. And he says, the other farmers like the devotees down there. So, you know, it's little by little, and it maybe takes a little active, but he's also aware because he's had other kinds of people come representing, and they weren't so polite and demanding that, you know, they give because it belongs to Krishna, so you have to give it to us. And people don't understand that. They want to give freely. And so, but there I've seen in different venues where people want to give, and it sometimes just needs to be encouraged, or sometimes... For me, I make friends with really unsavory people. And then over time, I don't get the high-class people. I get the lower-class people. That's my attraction. I attract low-class. And then eventually, you know, if I don't die over time, they come to, you know, produce something. But I was also in my service. I get letters from the prisoners. And it's been very interesting to read because what I'm seeing between the friends I have who are, there's like a lot of people who are very attached materially, and they don't think they're going to die. And the prisoners that are writing, the really one that hit me the other day, he said what he's realized in his recent privation is that the out-breath does not guarantee the in-breath, and that he has to give up now the distraction to all the things that are keeping him from his meditation, and he must delve into the Vedic literatures, and could we send him, you know, a catalog? And they've realized in, you know, this prison, and we don't think we're in prison sometimes. You know, we think we're free to do whatever we want, and it's going to go on forever.
Yeah.
And they finally realize they're at the end.
Yeah.
And now this, you know, now the search starts. Thank you for your class.
Yeah, Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita also, where he says that these materialistic persons, they're lost in themselves. And that's the case. People are so overwhelmed, they're lost in themselves, that they can't see anything beyond that, just themselves, their own little world. And therefore, they're engaged in unbeneficial and horrible works. Omkar Maharaj, I think you had a comment. Last comment.
I wanted to make mention about what you had said, happiness in spiritual life. As Srila Prabhupada has oftentimes said, chant and be happy. One thing we can make reflection of is when we perform devotional service, if we are not happy in devotional service, we should look upon how we chant our rounds, how we perform devotional service. And the result is we should be happy. Even performing austerity, there is happiness in that. That is the result. And tapasya, there is happiness. When I've been doing, I just recently started book distribution, and I cannot tell you how happy I am. It is so, so, so immeasurable. Last night I was at a heavy metal concert, and this one man said, "Wow, you're happy." And I said, "Yeah, because I love what I'm doing." And I said to him, "And you could be happy too. Let me show you something." And these people, they're heavy metal people, they're rockers. And this one girl said to me, "Wow, you're ready to rock." And I said, "You too. Let me give you something." And these people are interested in spiritual life. They really, really are. And wherever you go, believe me, there's an opportunity. We were on the way home on the bus, and we sat next to these guys, and we said, where are you from? They go, Louisiana. And we said, we're Hare Krishnas. We're going back home, and we have a temple by our house. And this guy goes, yeah, I know Hare Krishnas. And where's your temple? We go, right here on Venice Boulevard. We gave him a card, and he said, we'll come. And we tell them, Sunday, we got a really special, special event. Please come. So, you know, honestly, there's so many people. Some people, they look like they're, you know, from prison, like she said, and they love Krishna. We met a guy right here. He works like by, it's off Bagley. He's a baker. And he said, I'm going to come to the temple. I'm a baker, but I've heard of you guys. You got a restaurant? I could go there for lunch. He was just floored. And I said, sure, sure, come over. You could come by on your break. You could come by when you're ready to go home. And he said, yeah, I wait on the bus all the time, and I didn't even know. So it's overwhelming. Tonight I'm going to a soccer event. I'm going to go like 3 or 4 times a week because, to me, it's for Prabhupada. And, you know, the result is sometimes I can't sleep. I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, wow, it's just so, it's amazing how I feel because I really feel Prabhupada is helping me. And actually, I have reflections. Recently, like one day I was thinking, Prabhupada's in my heart. Prabhupada's alive. And I say, Prabhupada, please, you talk for me. That was one reflection. I said, Prabhupada, you preach for me. Today you're doing it for me. That's how I felt one day. I said, Prabhupada, it's all yours. And it helps me because it makes me feel stronger. I pray to Prabhupada, to Lord Chaitanya. And that's surrender. When you feel helpless and you just give it to Krishna and Prabhupada, you let them do it. And then that's when you're really happy. And if you're not happy in your service, you pray and you give it up. And if you can't do it, you go to the temple authority. You go to a God brother. You just go to Krishna and you say, please help me. Because if you're not happy, there's something you need to change in your life. Because Krishna consciousness is pure bliss. It really, really is. And the more you surrender, the more austerity, the more tapasya, the more you're going to want to do. That's what it's all about. Prabhupada said, chant and be happy. He wants us all to be happy.
Jai. Sri Krishna Sankirtana Ki Jai.